Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kiddushin Daf Mem Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Before we begin our shiur, let us mention a brief announcement, and that is that today's shiur will begin from the bottom line of Daf Mem Dalid. Those who are learning according to the Daf Yomi system and are purists in their efforts and want to begin at the beginning of Daf Mem Dalid, the top of Daf Mem Dalid Omen Aleph, so you will find that at the 50 minute 12 second mark for the shiur of Daf Mem Gimel. The topic that was discussed at the latter part of Daf Mem Gimel had to continue till this point, the bottom of Daf Mem Dalet Omid Aleph, hence we could not stop it earlier. So today's shiur begins at the bottom line of Daf Mem Dalet Omid Aleph, Bar Minei Rava Meirav Nachman. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Rava asks of Rav Nachman the following question. You'll notice that we have a long question marking. The structure here is worth noting ahead of time. We first have a long question. It's an inquisitive type question as opposed to a question of difficulty. Hence, in Hebrew, we refer to this as a she'ilah, using the shin abbreviation. But following the question, a difficulty arises. In other words, in raising the question, Rava expresses some kind of doubt. And following the question, the Gemara says, what do you mean? Does he have a doubt about that topic? So you have, let's say, a question upon a question. The first one is inquisitive, and the second one is a type of question raising a difficulty. And once the Gemara qualifies what Rava is asking, so then we can get on with the show, so to speak. So now we continue with the top line of Amud Beis. Na'ara ma'u shita se shaliach lekabel gita miyad baila. The question here is in accordance with the Rabbonan, Shitas Rabbonan on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. The Rabbonan who said that a Na'ara, a girl, this, of course, Mem Gimel Beis was part of our previous shiur. So the Rabbonan had said that the girl, in addition to her father, can receive her get, can receive her divorce document. So she has the power to receive her divorce. Does she have the power, while her father is alive, to appoint an agent to receive the get on her behalf? In fact, on the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei, our topic heading in the margin, that's what we've written. Under the Nosei, we've written, B'chaye Ovia Haim Bito Na'aro Yechol L'manois Shaliach L'kabel Gita. During the lifetime of her father, can a Na'aro, a girl between age 12 and 12 and a half, she's not a minor, she has the legal status of an adult, can she appoint an agent for receiving the get? Structurally, we also have a mivne note that you'll notice in the margin. Notice the term mivne, a diamond appears, and we indicate these are shnei shlavim, two stages, lahavin, ma hoya shelosu shel Rava. What was Rava's question? So we continue then in the Gemara itself. Can a Na'ara appoint an agent to receive her divorce from her husband? Kiyad oviha damya oi kechotzer oviha damya. These are two, we'll call them catchphrases, and the Gemara will explain each one as we go on. You can see we've underlined and indicate Aleph and Beis as we go further. But The first term is kiyad of Yodam. Is she like the arm of her father, or is she like the courtyard, the chotzer of her father? Those terms in and of themselves don't mean anything. What's an arm or a courtyard? It's his daughter, isn't it? So, but there's a halachic analysis. Kiyad avi hadamya, do we say she's like the arm or extension of her father? Ma avia mashvi shaliach, just like the father can appoint an agent to receive the divorce. Af hi nami mashvi shaliach, so too the daughter, the nara, can do so. That's if you categorize her as yad avia. Oidilma kechotzer avia damya. Or do we view her as the courtyard of her father? And the nature of courtyards is that they will acquire on behalf of its owner, but only when you put the item in the courtyard. So if we call the Naro, we categorize her as courtyard, we say then, V'ad dematyo gito liyoda lo migrusha, until the get reaches her hands, reaches the courtyard, in quotation marks, she would not be divorced. And as such, she doesn't have any, we'll say, active powers in establishing an agent, but she simply receives the get as if she were a courtyard. So we presented the two possibilities. Is she like the Yad Ovia or Chotzer Ovia? Umi Mesafkale LaRava Ha? Is this matter something that Rava would be asking about? Mesafka means something that he would be in doubt of. That and Rashi elaborates just a bit on the fourth line from the top. Umi Mesafkale LaRava Shie Al Odom Ben Das. Could it be that Rava would even consider categorizing a person who has his own mindset, Teiras Chotzer Kshuneor, that he would be considered while awake a Chotzer? Let's continue in the Gemara. Is this something that Rava would have a doubt about? Rather, it's obvious that Rava would not look at a person as a Chotzer. Thoma Rava, Kosav Get Vinosnoi biad avdo. A man who's planning to divorce his wife writes a get and puts the get in the hand of her servant, her slave. Yoshein umeshamarto hareiz a get. If the slave is asleep and she is watching him, she's by his side, then the divorce is effective. Because a sleeping slave with her watching it is called a chotzer hamishtameres, a guarded courtyard. And that has the halachic capacity of acquiring on behalf of its owner. She owns the slave, so the get put in the sleeping slave's hands while she is by his side, it's like giving it to her. Neor eino get. If the slave is awake, then it's not a get. It's not an effective divorce. Rashi, on the third narrow line, ne or eino get, to have your chotzer mishtameres ledaso eved atzmo. It becomes a courtyard, but it's only under the guardianship of the slave himself. V'eino doime lechotzer gemura. It's not like a regular piece of ground that's fenced in that we call a courtyard. Dechias raboy chatzera mishum destam chotzer mishtameres al pi abaylim. When we include in the scriptural analysis a chotzer, the pasuk, if you simply translate it, it says v'nosan biyado, you put it in her hands, but through scriptural exegesis we know to include more than just her hand, so we do include a chotzer. But when we include a chotzer, we include one that mishum destam chotzer mishtameres al pi abaylim. She gives her soviv, posech v'noyel, just like a person has control of themselves. We're talking about a chotzer that is under the control of the owner. It's fenced in, the owner can open it, the owner can lock it, but you can't describe a conscious or awakened slave in the same fashion. Let's continue in the Gemara. Neur amayeno get. Why, if the slave, if her slave is awake and you put the get in his hands, why is that not considered a divorce? Why is it not considered as if she is receiving it? Davilo chotzi mishtamer shalom ledaita, because it's considered her property, but not under her guardianship. Her under her guarding. V'yisalka daitoch kechotzer avi adamya. If you're going to view the girl as chotzer avia, kimoto gita liyodanami lo tigrash. Even when the get reaches her hands, she would not be divorced. Dehavilo chotzer mishtamer shalom ledas avia. Would be like the father's courtyard guarded without the father's knowledge. I'm not elaborating now, but we've mentioned in the past that the father is a central figure when it comes to issues of marriage and divorce of his daughter. So there's a given that a father can receive the get. The daughter is included also up till and including the period of being a Nara, she too can receive a get. But in what capacity is she receiving the get? So if you're going to say she's receiving the get as Chotzer Avia, it wouldn't be an effective get. Just like the Gemara said now, she would be considered a Chotzer HaMishtemer Shelo L'das Avia, a Chotzer that's not under the guardship of her father. We continue in the Gemara. Elo Li'olam Pshito Lei D'chiyad Avia Adamya. Rather, it's clear to Rava that the daughter is considered like the arm of her father. She's an extension of the father. So what's Rava's question to Rav Nachman? Now, Rava's question involved the appointing of an agent. V'hochi kome bayalei. And what Rava's question was is as follows. Mi alimo kiyad avia l'shavi ihi shaliach. Does she have the same strength as her father, as the arm of her father, to appoint an agent to receive a get on her behalf? Although, or she might be Yad Avia, but she doesn't have the strength to appoint an agent. Omar Lei, Rav Nachman answers, Ein Oysor Shaliach. She cannot appoint an agent. Eisvei, now we raise a question on Rav Nachman's Psak, on Rav Nachman's ruling from a Tanaic source. It says, Ketano she'omra, a minor is under age 12, and she said, Hiskabe ligiti, she said to someone, receive on my behalf my get, eino get, ashiagia get the other. It's not a valid divorce until it reaches her hands. Hon haro hareza get. Had this scenario been with a nara, instead of the dashed underline katana, you would replace that with nara. So you'd have a nara appointing an agent. It would have been a good get. That's not like Rav Nachman. The Gemara answers, Hocha b'maya askinon. This Tanaic source is dealing with a contingency case, a unique case, b'shein lo'av. We're dealing with a girl that does not have a father. So that, like we mentioned before, the mainstay in marriage and divorce of the girls up till age 12 and a half is the father. Here we're talking about a case where there's no father. So a minor cannot appoint an agent because a minor doesn't have the capability of appointing an agent, someone that would receive the legal status of a shaliach. But a nara could. She's an adult in view of the fact that there's no father. The Gemara asks, can you say that this Tanaic source is with no father? From the fact that the continuation of that source says, describes a case where there is a father, and it says, Im Omar Loi Aviha, if the father of the minor, of the Ketana, said to the one that she tried to appoint as an agent, and the father says, say, v'kabel get lebiti, go and receive the get for my daughter. So now the father is appointing the agent as an agent. Imrotza, so that the agent that was sent the fellow that was sent by the minor is now being requested by the father to receive the get. Oh, imrotza baal lachzer bo lo yachzer. If once the get is given to him after the father appointed him as a shliach lekabol, as an agent for receiving the get, if the husband should want to back out, it's too late. Once the get reaches the agent's hands that was now appointed by the father to receive it, that's it. That at that point the divorce sets in. So you see that these two framed sections, the most recent one was simply the continuation of the previous frames, beginning with the Ketana. So Michlal de Reisha b'diyesh lo avas kinan. So the case of the Reisha is that there is a father in the picture, and that would reinstate the question on Rav Nachman, because here you have a Nara with a father, from which we inferred that her appointing of a shliach would have been valid. The Gemara answers on behalf of Rav Nachman, Chisurei Mechasra v'hochi Kotoni. The source that we've been dealing with is really abbreviated, and thusly it should be understood. Ketana Shomra Hiskaba Legiti, a minor that attempts to appoint someone to receive a get on her behalf, ain't no get. It's not a valid divorce. Achiyagia get liyoda, until the get reaches her hands. Now, from that we could infer, ha naro hare ze get. If you were dealing with a naro who appointed the agent, it would have been a valid get. So, a naro can appoint an agent, however, that's qualified. Bamed vamurim, when can she appoint an agent? Kishen lo'av, if there's no father. Avol yesh lo'av, if there is a father. And at this point we add, whether you're dealing with a minor or a na'ara, v'yomar avia, and the father said, tsei v'kabel labiti gita, go and receive on my daughter's behalf her divorce. The roitza baal lachzer lo yachzer, and the husband should now want to retract, it's too late. But the main point, to go over the main point, Rav Nachman ruled that a na'ara during the lifetime of her father does not have the power to appoint a receiving agent on her own behalf. Even though she's categorized as Yad Oviha, she doesn't have that power, the power to appoint a receiving agent during the lifetime of her father. Before we continue, we glance at the side. We have a nosei, and we're calling this a nosei klali, a general topic. A general topic heading, and we indicate that this goes till daf mem vav. Now, it doesn't mean that we're going to be fixated on this particular case until daf mem vav, but rather the topic of ketano shiniskatsha shalola dasavia. This is a topic that's going to be, we'll say, recurring till daf mem vav. You'll notice we have a mivne note and we feature a triangle. The point is facing downward, but this shape is miuad lekasher ula shemofia behemshich l'shmuel. We want to create a connection between Ula, who appears later, you'll see on the first wide line of the Gemara, with Shmuel that appears very soon. Lahavlit mach lekosam. We want to enable you to see that they are in disagreement with one another, to highlight their controversy, their disagreement. Eventually, when you get to the lower part of the page, you'll see on the third wide line the appearance of the first of a couple of house shapes, which will be two kushios on Ula. The Gemara. Itmar. Ketano shiniskatsha shalola dasavia. A minor that received marriage money without her father's knowledge. Her father didn't say, oh, go accept the money. He didn't know. Rashi says across from here, more or less, a little bit further up, Ketanish niskatshilo zasavia, lo omar lo avia lekablam, velo yoda. The father didn't tell her to receive the money offer from the man. and he didn't know. Ubiktano hakol modim she'en kiddushel kiddushin shelo ledaito. And when it comes to a ketana, a minor, receiving kiddushin, everyone agrees that it's nothing. En kiddushel kiddushin, her kiddushin is not binding, being that it's not with the father's knowledge. So we're describing a ketana's receipt of kiddushin without the father's knowledge. Omar Shmuel, tzricha get, utzricha miyun. These two terms, you have get and miyun, are almost exclusive of one another. Get, I'm sure everyone knows by now, that's a divorce document. That's the means of breaking apart a married couple, a couple that's officially married. Miyun is a unique legal institution, which most often generally applies to cases where you don't have a... First of all, miyun involves a minor. Up till there's a machlokas tanoim between the Rabbon and Rabbi Yehuda on this particular point, but for convention's sake, we're going to say it has validity. Miyun to resist, to refuse, a girl can refuse up till 12 years of age. A ketana has the power of miyun. In its origins, miyun is a case where a girl doesn't have a father. And her brother or mother married her off to some man. The bond is not considered a marital bond in the fullest sense of the word, unless the girl stays with the man beyond 12 years of age and lives together with him as husband and wife. But prior to that, she can be mima'ena. She can walk out. She can say, I don't want to stay with this man, and there's no need for a divorce. And in fact, miyun would be tantamount to saying she was never married. Now, what Shmuel is saying here would almost, as I said, seem to be contradictory. To say that she requires a get would indicate that she is married. To say that miyun is effective in releasing her would be, in effect, saying she was never married. Omar Karna. Karna is a name. We've underlined Shmuel and Karna. Shmuel also has the triangles. We said we want to tie him into Ula later on. But Karna reacts to Shmuel. Karna is the name of a scholar. And he says, Devarim Bego. Bego means literally Batoch, inside. Karna is saying that this is perplexing. There's something very deep and hard to understand in what Shmuel is saying. Im get, lomo miyun. Im miyun, lomo get. More or less, like we said, if you're requiring a get, then why the miyun? There's no room for miyun. And if you're saying miyun is effective, so why do you need a get? There's a brief section of Gemara, a couple of lines that we have in brackets. It's a bit tangential. If you skip the brackets momentarily, you will see the Gemara says v'taimomai, and here the Gemara wants to know what's behind requiring get and miyun. And the Gemara will go on to offer an explanation for that. So what about the bracketed section? So within the brackets is a little bit of an incident where this interchange between Shmuel and Karna appears as follows. Omru lei. The rabbi said to Karna, You're asking about Shmuel. Now, Shmuel was located in a town by the name of Nahardog. It might have been far away from where they were. There was another great leader of the time. His name was Mar Ukva. So Omru Leh, the rabbi said to Karna, who had trouble understanding Shmuel, they said to him, Ho Mar Ukva, Beidino Bekafri. Behold, there's Mar Ukva and his court in Kafri. Kafri is the name of a place. It's nearby. You don't have to go all the way to Shmuel. Go ask Mar Ukva what's behind such a double requirement. Afchuha shadruha lekame derav. The discussion or the interchange between Shmuel and Karna was switched around. The rabbis deliberately switched around their discussion and sent it to Rav. That means that they presented Karna as saying Tzricho Get and Tzricho Miyun, and Shmuel is saying Dvorim Bego, like, wow, that's it, like, that's hard to understand, it's impossible. So they sent Shmuel, they sent a letter to Rav indicating that Shmuel's reaction was Dvorim Bego to what Karna would have said Tzricho Get, Tzricho Miyun. So that's what Afchuha, they switched it around, Shadru Lekamei de Rav, sent this to Rav, Omar Lahu, and Rav's reaction was, Holokim. Well, it's Holokim is an expression of often it's a person swears in God's name. It's an expression of emphasis. So Rav says, Holokim, Tzricho Get, Utzricho Miyun. She requires both again and miyun. The chosle lezare, the abo barabo de nema hochi, and heaven forbid that the seed of abo barabo. Abo barabo was the name of Shmuel's father. So what Rav was saying, Rashi points out, Rav was very close with Shmuel. They were very friendly with one another, and Rav said, was saying, heaven forbid that Shmuel should react to the necessity of both by saying Vorem Bego, the name of Ochi, that Shmuel should say thusly, that he should say Vorem Bego. Rashi elaborates a little bit of why they did this, why they switched around the statements of Shmuel and Karna and sent it to Rav. But for our purposes, that's the story. Rav confirms what Shmuel in reality said, that you need to have a get and you need to have miyun in the case of a tanish and schachilil dasabiyah. Okay, now that it's pretty clear that you need to have both for time omai, what do you need both for? Omer ravacho brei deravika. Tzricho get shemo nisratze ho'av begidushin. It could be that the father of the girl would be in approval of the kiddushin. All we said is that the girl accepted the kiddushin without her father's instructing her, without his knowledge. What happens when he becomes aware, and let's say he is happy that she received the kiddushin? Well, if he becomes happy that she received the kiddushin, then she would be considered married. And in order for her to be released from that situation, she would need to have a get. Tzricha miyun. She would have to say, I don't want to continue with this guy. Shemo lo nisratze ho'av b'kiddushin. Maybe the father was never in approval of the kiddushin. And now we have to point out between the lines, so to speak, between the words, if the father has no approval of the kiddushin, so there's nothing. Why would you require a miyun even that? There's nothing. But nevertheless, we require miyun because we had required a get. And if there would be only a get, that would create the impression that this man, we'll call him Mr. X, was married to the girl. The get would be the breaking up of a full marriage in the eyes of the public. We're requiring the get on a presumption or on a doubt that maybe the father approved of the marriage. In the eyes of the public, if they see her receiving just a get, people will think that Mr. X was fully married to the minor, to the little girl. If a man, in general, is married to a woman and divorces that woman, he is forbidden during the lifetime of his wife former wife, he's forbidden to marry her sister. That's called Achois Grushasa, the sister of the one he divorced. If we want to enable, leave open the possibility of Mr. X marrying her sister, or let's say even furthermore, let's say Mr. X goes ahead and marries her sister. If there was only a get, people would think that there's no kiddushin toifsin be'achosa, because just like we say a man cannot marry a woman and her sister, if he tries to marry his wife's sister, there's no kiddushin. It's an iser kores. There's nothing that takes hold. What happens in this case if Mr. X goes and marries the sister of this girl? Does anything take hold? Well, something is going to take hold on a level of doubt, because maybe the father didn't approve of the marriage with the minor. But if the public sees only the get that Mr. X gives the minor, we continue reading in the Gemara, V'yomru, people will say, if we don't have any miyun, if we have just the get, people will think, Ein kiddushin toifsin b'achosa. There's no marriage that takes hold between Mr. X and the sister. People will think, mistakenly, that the sister of this minor was categorized, if there was only a get, was categorized as achos grushoso. And she'll end up, the sister will end up leaving Mr. X without a get. And that would not be true. That wouldn't be a right thing. Because if the father did not approve of the marriage of the minor, then Mr. X's marriage with her sister did take hold. How do we show the public that the marriage with the minor wasn't a definite marriage? How do we do that? By having the minor do mi'un as well. Mi'un is characteristic of a bond that's not a real marriage. There was never a real marriage. So when you see the minor, in addition to the get, when you see her doing mi'un, that will serve to say, inform the public that if Mr. X goes and marries her sister, she won't be able to leave him without a get being required. Let's take a look at Rashi to see how he presents this, let's say, involved analysis. The Rashi that we're looking at is toward the end of the narrow lines. Utsricha miun shema lo nisratzu abikidusha. Maybe the father was not in approval of the minor's marriage. The yomru v'chulei haraya shitzrichnu a get. The public that sees the requirement of a get, savor, will conclude shenisratzu abikidusha, that the father actually approved the minor's marriage to that man. Vave le grushosomayon, the get that he gave her is a regular act of divorce. So the minor is his grusha, his divorcee. Veshuv, and once the minor is labeled as grushoso, veshuv ein kiddushin toifsin loy b'choso. If Mr. X tries to marry her sister, there will be no marital bond. Shachos grushoso bekores. A man marrying or having intimacy with the wife of the one he divorced is a severe offense, carrying with it the kores punishment. Dichtiv bechayeha, kol shebechayeha. The Torah uses the word bechayeha in the context of achos ishto. And that includes any situation while a man's wife slash divorcee is still alive. He cannot be with her sister. V'kodesh achosav, if Mr. X goes ahead and marries her sister, the minor's sister, if their minor would have received only a get, people will also see la fuka below get. They'll say about her sister, leave him even without a get, because there's no tefisas kedushin with achos grushoso. How do we show the public that she's not, that the minor is not a standard grusha? By having the mi'un. Oh, once the public sees Mr. X and mi'un with the little girl, in other words, the little girl expressing her mi'un to him, people will say that there wasn't a real marriage here, and if Mr. X marries the sister, then he will have to give her a divorce if they are to split up. We turn back to the Gemara. Omar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman qualifies Shmuel's teaching. V'hu shishidchu. That which we said, a get is required, on the grounds that, well, maybe the father approved, that is so only if the father had some type of conversation with the man, with the husband, before that marriage. If the shidchu is a term that maybe you're familiar with, we talk about shiduchim, making marriage arrangements, setting people up to get married. That's how the term shiduchim is used today. It's an old word, as you can see, and it has to do with the similar idea that there is some type of marriage talk before the actual marriage. So if the father had been involved with some type of marriage discussions with the regarding his daughter and this guy, so then there's room to think that maybe when the father hears about the actual marriage that the little girl initiated, that he would be in approval of it. So Rav Nachman says our requirement for a get, for a divorce document, that's only if the father had been participant in some type of marriage discussion with that husband beforehand. When the actual marriage took place, it was done without his knowledge, as we illustrated before. Ula Omar, afilu miun eino tzricha. Ula disagrees with Shmuel, and he says that the actions of a ketana during the lifetime of her father are nothing. The Gemara asks in a tone of wonderment, Afagav deshidchu, even if there had been shiduchim, discussions between the father and the husband, are you saying that even then you don't require anything? So that would be very difficult to believe. So the Gemara responds and says, Man demasni ha, lo masni ha. We look at Rashi on the third line under the Gemara text. Umeshani demasni ha, lo masni ha. Man demasni plukta deula adishmuel. He who presents Ula as being someone that argues with Shmuel, that Ula, as we indicated in our markings, that Ula was going up against Shmuel. Lo masni ad Shmuel hai pirusha de porish bar Rav Nachman vehushit shidchu. Does not include Rav Nachman's qualification of Shmuel. So that if you leave out Rav Nachman from the discussion, so we have Shmuel talking about the need for a get and miun. There was no prior discussion between father and husband concerning the possibility of his daughter getting married. So the daughter was functioning in a real, we'll say, a real vacuum. No father involvement whatsoever. And there's no reason for with a presentation like this, there's very little reason for thinking that the father would be in approval of something that he had already been participant in. So that the chances of the father approving and retroactively saying that the kedushin was a good kedushin are considerably reduced at that point. At the point that we leave out Rav Nachman from the discussion. And nevertheless, Shmuel said, Tzricha ger v'tzricha miun. And Ula, in reacting to that, said, well, ain't my siktana klum, the ketana's actions is nothing. You don't need even miun. It's not even a rabbinic-type marriage. In a rabbinic-type marriage where a mother or brother marries her off after the father's dead, so then we require miun. But here, the father's alive. The actions of a girl on her own don't need anything. So Ula's saying that you don't need anything. We're assuming then that there was no shiduchim beforehand. So therefore, we don't have to raise the question of. Is Ula saying his din that you don't require a miyun even if had there been shiduchim? Not so. Iko diamri. There's another approach, and there's a machlokis, by the way, between Rashi and Tosfos in how to learn this iko diamri. We're going to stick with the Rashi approach. But Tosfos does have a different explanation to this discussion. The Iko d'Amri, another approach, Omar Ula, Ketana shiniskatshe shelo ledas ovia, afilu miun eino tzricha. Seems to be very similar to what Ula said before, so what's the difference here? So from Rashi's perspective, the difference is that Ula is not saying a point as a reaction to Shmuel, but rather, he's saying it on his own. We take a look at the Rashi. Iko diamri omar ula milso ba'ape nafshahu masni lo. Ula is saying something on his own. Velo ad rav u'shmuel. And he's not a reaction to Rav and Shmuel, who before said that the Tanish Skatsha Shlazosavia, we require a get in miun. Ustama ko omar le. He said it on his own. Ula said, "Ektana shniskatshe shelo dasavio doesn't need miun, doesn't need anything." V'lo shno shidchu, v'lo shno lo shidchu. And here, Rashi adds that Ula's comment is that you don't need miun, even if there had been shiduchim beforehand. According to the first lashon, it would probably not be like that. According to the first Lashon, where we raised the question of Afal Gav D'Shidchu, there we explained that Ula says that you don't need even Miun because there had been no Shiduchim. Had there been Shiduchim, so according to the first Lashon, it's quite likely that Ula wouldn't have said that you don't need anything because the father was already involved and there was a possibility that he would have approved. According to the second Lashon, as Rashi presents it, even had the father been involved, had there been Shiduchim, Ula still says you don't need anything. Mosiv Rav Kahana. We pointed out earlier that the house marking are two questions on Ula. Rav Kahana raises the following Tanaic source, and here we have a very brief quote of a rather involved Tanaic source. This Tanaic source is coming from the beginning of Maseches Yevomis. There's a very long Mishnah in Maseches at the beginning of Maseches Yevomis, and the Mishnah there tells us about 15 different kinds of arayas, that if they are married to a man, and the man dies without children, and he leaves a brother, the arayas we just mentioned are those women that would be forbidden to marry the surviving brother. Does that sound a little confusing? Well, let's take one simple case. You have two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven married Shimon's daughter. When Reuven dies after marrying his niece, Shimon's daughter, and no children, ordinarily there would be mitzvah yibum. The surviving brother marries the widow. But in this case, who's Shimon's? Who's the widow? Who's the avoma? It's Shimon's own daughter. He's not going to marry his daughter. So we learn from the Torah and the Mishnah there in Yevomis that Shimon is not going to marry his daughter. But not only is he not going to marry his daughter, if Reuven had a co-wife, we'd call that a tzora. Tzoras erva, the co-wife of an erva to the surviving brother. The co-wife, who is not Shimon's daughter, she's the co-wife of Shimon's daughter. The erva, the co-wife that is, also is exempt from yibum. Exempt means no yibum, no chalitza. She just walks out and marries whomever she wants. She's now a widow. The Mishnah there says, "V'chulon imesu omiano unisgarsho, o nisgarshu, o shenimsu aylinis." Tzorosen mutoros. Mutoros means beyibum. Let's stick to one example. There are 15 examples that would be a bit of overload right now to go through all of those examples. And the goal right now in appreciating this source is regarding the daughter of Shimon. There are 14 more examples, but we're sticking to one. The daughter of Shimon, let us say, before Reuven died, is removed from the picture. How would that be? Let's say Reuven had divorced Shimon's daughter, and then Reuven died, leaving the co-wife, leaving one wife. At the point that he died, though, there was no erva married to Reuven at that point. No erva of Shimon married to Reuven. So when Reuven died, and the forbidden one had been divorced, or she turned out to be an eyliness, a woman incapable of reproducing, the co-wives are mutter to do yibum. So to make it more concrete, once again, Reuven was married to Shimon's daughter. If Shimon's daughter im mesu, if she had died before Reuven, and then when Reuven dies, he leaves just the co-wife, the other wife that he happened to have. Omianu. And here's the key word. This is the case we want to focus on. We dashed underline it. Or mianu. Mianu means that Shimon's daughter, who had been married to Reuven, simply walked out of the marriage. We explained before what when miyun applies. Let's see, this Mishnah needs some explanation. So Rav Kana raises this source, and we see here a ketana. The term mianu refers to a minor. Reuven had been married to Shimon's daughter, and now Shimon's daughter is described as being mimaenis before Reuven dies. The kitsha man, who married her off? Who married this minor, i.e. Shimon's daughter, to Reuven, his brother? Ilemo de kitsha viha. If you're going to say that Shimon himself married his daughter off to his brother, his father marrying off his daughter, b'miyun sagi lo, Would miyun be enough? Get ma'alya baya. You would need a full-fledged divorce document. A father has a Torah right to marry off his minor daughter to some man. So that couldn't be what the Mishnah there in the beginning of Yevamos is describing. El olav dekitsha ihi nafsha. It would have to be a case where she initiated her own marriage. That's shelo ledasovia, without her father's knowledge. Fikotoni debayomiyun. And the Mishnah describes her as requiring miyun. In order for her to leave her husband, she would have had to do miyun. And that is not like Ula. Notice we've dashed underlined the phrase that helps you see how this is unlike Ula. We've dashed underlined the kitshei nafsha. That's a case of ktana shiniskatshe shalola dasavia. And miyun is required. And Ula said in a case of ktana shiniskatshe shalola dasavia, she doesn't need miyun. Who moisiv law v'hu mefarek law? Rav Kana raised the question. Rav Kana also answers the question. Kagoin shenase lo maise yesoime b'chayo av. The Mishnah in Yevamos, beginning with the word v'kulon yemesu that we saw just before, is talking about a special situation. What is Maisa Yisema B'chayav? Shimon had once married his daughter up to some other guy, not to his brother, some other guy. And she had consummated the marriage. She reached Nisuin with that other guy, the guy to whom Shimon had married her off to. And that guy either died or divorced her while she was still a minor. We mentioned certainly in recent previous shurim, that when a girl, even if she happens to be minor, but reached the level of nisuin with her husband, she is no longer associated with her father. She's no longer under her father's domain. So even though she might still be quite young, she's still a minor, and she's divorced, but a get after Nisuin makes it such that she is considered an independent entity. So she's like a Yesoma. She's like the case we described above, if you recall, when we had Rav Nachman issued his ruling. So we said that we're talking about a case where there is She'ein Lo'av, she doesn't have a father. Here, she has a living, breathing father, but halachically speaking, she is on her own. Oh, she's on her own. She was, in fact, once married off by her father to some other guy. And that other guy divorced her or died on her. She had reached Nisuin. She's still a minor. Then she, on her own, went and married her uncle. Doesn't matter if the father gave her the idea and all. The father has no legal jurisdiction or marriage powers over her at that point. So she married on her own. It's not a case of a maisik tana under the jurisdiction of her father. A maisik tana, tana's action under the jurisdiction of her father, that really is nothing. That's where Ula's law applies. But here, she's considered like an orphan. Maisa Yisoma, the action of Yisoma while her father is still alive. Can you have an orphan while her father is still alive? The answer is, in legal terms, yes. So, that is not the case that Ula was dealing with to begin with. We must emphasize, Ula was dealing with a case where a girl acted on her own while she was under her father's jurisdiction. We continue with another question. Mosiv Rav Hamnuna. Here we have a source that we've dealt with earlier in this Masechta, in the first parak. It has to do with a father's rights to sell his daughter as an amu evriya, as a Jewish bondmaid. Part of the halach of selling one's daughter involves the potential for mitzvahs yiud, for her to be married by the owner to whom she sold, or his son. There's a, we discussed that at great length in the sugya back on Daf Yud Tes. It says here in this source, Ein mochro lekrovim, mishum Rav Elazar amru mochro lekrovim. Machlokes tanoim, can a father sell his daughter to relatives? If he sells it to relatives, if he sells, let's say, his daughter to his son, well, a man can't marry his sister, so that wouldn't be a good sale, according to the Tanakhama. Rabbi Lozer says a sale could be made to Krivim. We're not going to get involved with the exact case that they are, in fact, arguing about. Let's continue at the top of Daf Mem Hey. V'shavin, there is agreement. Shemoichra almona l'kayin gadol grusha v'chalutza l'kayin hedyot. In general, a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry an almona. A standard kohen is not allowed. An almona is a widow woman, and a standard kohen, a kohen hedyot, is not allowed to marry a divorcee, nor a woman that participated in the chalitza shoe removal ceremony, breaking up the yibum bond. Okay, so a kohen gadol cannot marry an almona, and yet here we are saying that the father can sell his daughter as if the daughter's a widow to a kohen gadol, even though the kohen gadol isn't going to be able to do yiud on a lechatchila basis. If a kohen gadol marries an almona, the marriage takes hold, and since there is a marital bond that could take hold, we're not saying it's a proper one, but it's not like a brother marrying his sister where there's no marital bond that takes place to begin with. Here a marital bond would take place. So the sale that the father conducts, selling his daughter to the Kohen Gadol, would be effective, even though she's an almona. Now, hi almona hechidomi, when you describe the little girl, because when you talk about a father selling his daughter, you have to be talking about a minor. Once she becomes a nara, once she reaches age 12, father has no control over her in terms of sales. So this almona, what are the circumstances? If you're talking about a girl that had a minor that had been married off by her father to some man, so that the father married her off to some man, and then that man died, so she's a widow. And now, as a widow, the father sells her off. Can he do that? Mi motzi mazvin la? Does a father have the power to sell her as a Jewish bondmaid after the father already had married her off to some man? Ha ein odo moicher es bito l'shivchus acharishus. A man cannot sell his daughter into servitude after Ishus, after he had married her off to some fellow. So what's the case of her being an almona and the father is selling her off? Oh, she must have married herself off. And she has a father, as is obvious from the scenario. And we're calling her a widow. A widow means that you have a girl that had some type of marital bond that became non-existent as a result of the husband dying. This is a problem for Ula, because according to Ula, a ketana shekitcha atzma b'chayei avia is nothing. You wouldn't describe a nothing as an almona. Omar Rav Amram, Omar Rav Yitzchok, in defense of Ulap, Hocha, the source above that spoke about father selling her off as an almona kohen gadol, Hocha bekidusha yirud ve'aliba the Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda. The Omar Mois Rishonis Lav lekidusha nitnu. We'll go over this, of course. We mentioned that a father has no rights to sell his daughter into servitude after the father married her off. This particular girl was not married off by her father. What happened? This particular girl was sold by the father into servitude. The owner that bought her fulfilled the mitzvah of Yud. He married her. The owner married her. Did the father marry her off to this fellow? Well, when you follow the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Behuda that says that the original purchase money was not for marital purposes, it was for a transaction of buying a bondmaid. But it wasn't for marital purposes. Lav likidushin itnu. Therefore, the father was not involved in marrying off his daughter. So if the father was never involved in marrying off his daughter, he does not lose the power of selling her at some future point. Of course, while she's still a minor. So what had happened is that the father had sold her as a Jewish bondmaid to some man. That man exercised his yud option. He married her. Kiddushe yud. He didn't consummate the marriage, though. He died, leaving the girl as an almona. The father then is described above as selling her to a kohen gadol. So you don't have a situation where the father is restricted on the grounds of what we said before was ein moch ein oda moichres bita l'shifchus achar ishus. Here, there had been no ishus generated by the father that preceded his sale to the kohen gadol. Ah, she's described as an almona. Yeah, she's a widow by virtue of the fact that the one that originally bought her had married her, legitimate marriage, the Yehud marriage, and he died. But the father was not the one that exercised that marriage option. Based on Rabbi Yosef Yehuda that says that the original money that the father received in her sale to that other guy was not considered marriage money. Lav l'kiddusha nitnu. My sincere hope is that our explanation was sufficient. I must add, though, that I am assuming that you're not a first-time listener, but rather you've been learning the Masichta from the beginning, where these topics have been discussed at much greater length. The topics of father selling his daughter into servitude, and the mitzvah of yud, and the machloikis as to whether Moisri Shonus Likidushin Itnu or Lav Likidushin Itnu. With all of that background, then this Gemara is quite understandable. Without that background, I'm not sure that our explanation would have been is sufficient. All the same, before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.